Do it. Okay. My name's Lori Ristig. I am 40 years old. Today's date is December 28th, 2018, and I'm speaking with my Grammy, Barbara Hutchins, and we're recording this interview in Prescott, Arizona. Okay. Hi.
Hi.
So I've got a whole bunch of questions here,
okay.
And it wouldn't let me order them, so some of them might go back and forth,
okay.
And I might skip some, but yeah. Okay, question number one. Can you tell me a little bit about your childhood? What were you like as a child?
I was very shy. I was too tall, and in my day, being tall was not good. I mean, like... I remember one time when I was about 6 years old in first or second grade, and they were having a little dance, the kids where the girls were,
mm-hmm.
and it was just a dee 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 dee, and they were all doing it, but they wouldn't let me because I was too tall.
What?
And you know, so that began.
Where did you live?
And I lived in Dallas, Texas at that time.
Were you born in Dallas?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Can you tell me about your grandparents? Do you remember your grandparents?
I remember my grandmothers, but not my I didn't know my grandfathers.
Did they like die before you were born, or they
yeah.
were just?
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay. All right. What you got?
Okay. Well, my dad's mother. Was from Missouri, and they moved to Texas. She had two girls by another man named Cadwallader.
Oh.
And then he died, and so she met a man named Wilson, Sam Wilson, I think it was. And then my daddy and his sister were born from him. So his name was Wilson, Clint Wilson. He was, all these, they were very strict, and they had a religion that was strange. There wasn't any church, regular church or anything. They just met in people's homes, and I remember one time in my grandmother's house home, they had a meeting, and it's just a matter of sitting around, and I was trying to get my grandmother to have a Sunday school or something, but that wasn't in their plan, so.
Huh.
But anyway, she was real thin, and she and her daughter was living with her, and they both wore these dresses that were real long, of course, and all sleeves cleared onto their and they were you know, very old fashioned, and they weren't very nice. I mean they were not bad, you know.
Sure.
But they were just nothing. Anyway, she died of a squirrel bite. She had a squirrel.
She died of a squirrel bite?
She had a squirrel in a cage in her backyard. And it bit her one time.
Like a pet squirrel?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, I don't know. Maybe it just came there and she decided to make a pet.
Oh, my
gosh.
But
it's not something, you know.
Was it like rabbit or something? Or did it just
get infected? I don't know. I don't know what it was. That's just a kid.
Weird. Okay.
But I remember that she died. And, my mother's mother, she had 12 children. Mm-hmm. They lived in southern Oklahoma in the oil field country. But she was not motherly, in, I guess, in a sense, because she had five of her kids died.
Aww.
And when mother's oldest sister was... hit by lightning in a storm, and
what?
So she died, so that made brother the oldest, and so she had all these other kids younger than she, so she spent her life changing diapers and stuff, so.
Aww.
When she got married, she didn't want a bunch of kids. She only she was happy with a boy and a girl, that was it. But anyway, my grandmother was they had this Hartshell Baptist religion. Mothers grew up with her, with them sitting on these hard benches and listening to some preacher ran on and on and on. And So that turned her off from church. But she was okay. She married this, her first husband died. I think she drew him to drink, and he died of alcoholism or something.
Oh, my gosh.
But anyway, she married this other man. She was nursing in a hospital or something, and she met this guy. I don't know how in the world she could be. He had one lung gone, and one side was all bent, air to suck in. And I remember him sitting in the living room there, listening to the baseball games, smoking a cigarette. Here he lost
with
one lung.
His one lung?
His name was Bradshaw, and so she was always Grandma Bradshaw. But their mother's name, there should have been Oxley. That was her mother's maiden name. And so she was, she was okay, but not like I'm a grandmother.
Not as awesome as you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Can you tell me about one or two people who have been the biggest influences in your life?
Well, obviously my husband, Gene Hutchins, because when I met him, he introduced me to the Mormon Church, and he told me about all the great programs, their beliefs that they had, and everything just sounded just perfect. I just accepted it. I think it's a true church, and I'm real happy to be in it. And so obviously he was influential in introducing me there.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, anybody else? I don't know. I have to think about that. I can't remember anybody special.
Don't sweat it.
Mm-hmm.
What advice would you give to your teenage self?
Well, you got to realize that when I was a teenager, it's a lot different than it is now.
Yeah.
And here again, I was too tall to be popular. Now, like, tall girls are good, but not there at that time, no. And I never had a date in high school or anything.
Aww.
So I was not a teenager. I mean, I was always a grown adult. And I went to work when I was 14, because I was still going to school. But, I mean, it was during the World War II. And so you could get jobs when kids were younger then, because there wasn't enough to go around. Or they were all fighting the war. And I went to work for Woolworths when I was 14. And on weekends and stuff. So, but I don't know. Just be yourself and don't worry about what other people are thinking, I think.
What did you do at Woolworths? Were you like a cashier? Or?
Behind the counter.
Yeah.
They had just counters, and
sure.
Not like now. And also, I was what they call a change girl, and those clerks couldn't have. I couldn't change anything above a $5 bill, so when they got a $5 bill, they'd ding, 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 and I'd come running because I had a sack full of money, and I was only, 16 about that time, but I would change
big spenders with their $5 bills.
Lily, with $5 bills was $100, so they, really, you're talking about it was during the war, but we'd just gotten through with a big depression, and $5 was big money.
Nice. All right. What are you proudest of, personally or professionally, in your life?
Well, personally, of course, I'm proudest of my children. I have three wonderful children that have grown to be very good people and have been a success in their lives. And
some pretty good grandkids.
Oh,
too.
And very good, very very good grandkids. Oh yes, my grandkids are the joys of life for sure, and great grandkids.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Don't forget them. Yeah.
What about professionally, the work you've done?
Well, everyone just growing up, because I was a tall blonde from Texas, they thought I should be a model. And that's all I ever heard. So when I got out of high school, or got to that age of 18 or so, I wanted to go to be a model. But in Dallas, there wasn't any that much. The big ones were in Fort Worth. I mean, in New York City or Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
And I was too tall for everything around there. They had sportswear that if you were 5'7" or 5'8", it was perfect. But anyway, but I did. I went to a modeling school. A lady who'd been at the John Robert Powers School in New York, she came to Fort Worth. I mean, she lived in Fort Worth, and she started this school. So I've got pictures of all of that. I went through the process of learning how to walk and all that stuff. But that, like I say, that's all I ever heard. I finally realized that it's not going to be that. So I was working for the telephone company as information. And I got tired of that. Not being in Fort Worth, I wanted to go back to Dallas. So I transferred with the telephone company to Dallas. And we belonged. Finally, the tall people got together and formed a club called the Tip Topper Club.
Uh-huh.
And we had one in Fort Worth, and I've got a lot of stuff on that, if you want.
But
I went to Dallas, and I joined there, too. And that's where I had a lot of fun, because everybody was tall.
All the tall guys?
Uh-huh. You had to be 6'2". Boys had to be 6'2" to belong.
Nice.
And girls 5'10".
What did you guys do?
We partied. My roommate and I had this apartment, and it's at 422 North Marsalis in Dallas, and it was called Club 422.
Your apartment was called Club 422?
Yeah. Because every weekend, just almost as much as I know, it was so it'd be kind of a big barney apartment, but we had parties, or Betty would come over and drink booze and stuff. I never did drink very much, but it was fun when you're not. I don't have a lot of rules and regulations on drinking or smoking or stuff. Well, you know, it's what you do.
Sure.
And so so I had good friends there. And my roommate was named, her real name was Florence, and she came from a real nice family in Shreveport, but her nickname was Queenie.
Queenie?
So, Queenie, yeah. She was my roommate there, then she was my maid of honor when I got married and
aww.
Stuff. So, yeah. She's dead now. I think everybody's dead.
I remember talking to you a few years ago, and I was talking about something like, I don't remember what, something with alcohol though, and I assumed you just had always been Mormon at the time.
Oh yeah.
And that you'd never drank or done any naughty things. And then you told me, like, you were like, oh, I've drank. I was like, what? And then you said, and I quote, I love a beer.
I do.
Almost died of joy. It was the funniest, most awesome, surprising thing.
Oh, cold beer is
your name. I love a beer. I was like, what?
Yeah, well, of course, I don't do that anymore. not for the last, since I was 22, and I'm almost 90 now, so that's a long time.
How long have you done Lions Club stuff?
I joined in, I'm always a joiner. All my life since I've been grown, I've joined something, usually a charity of some kind. It was a Crippled Children's Society in Palo Alto when we lived there. And it was Beta Sigma Phi. It was the business girls. They call it the business girls sorority. And it was all every town had it.
Mm-hmm.
And so wherever I'd move, I'd join there. And especially there in Dallas when I first joined, I was only 18 or something. But that's what, it was for girls, mm-hmm. people my age. Where was I?
joining clubs, Lions
yeah, okay,
Club,
yeah.
clubs.
Okay, yeah. So then, of course, when I moved to Prescott, California, I was more involved in the church stuff. But when I moved to Prescott, I didn't have that connections yet, so I just found whatever organization. And I eventually, one of my friends was a lioness, and she told me about the club, and so she had me join. You had to have somebody sponsor you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been in there since, about 27 years now.
Okay.
I was president and secretary twice, and I was in charge of a big fashion show we had at the hotel. and you know, just been, I can't do much now, but I served in lots of positions there. Mm-hmm. And we worked hard to raise money for the local charities in town, you know, like the battered women and stuff like that. Aww.
I know you've traveled a lot. What's your favorite place you've ever traveled to?
Well, the most exotic place, I guess, was Nepal, which is it's part of China, and well, they don't want to be. They want to be.
Yeah, independent.
But China took them over. But it's a place where at the base of the Himalaya Mountains. And it's a very popular place for that, for the people who want to climb the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went there. My husband would travel. He wouldn't do anything with the house or much or anything else. But if I just mentioned let's go somewhere, we were up and gone. So I was when we got, you know, for cute computers that is browse some things. So I found this trip to Nepal that. But looked interesting, and so we went, and it was really, really fascinating there to see how the people lived. It was quite different from anything else, and I could say it's part of China, but they're not Chinese, they're Nepalese.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I've been, and I love to drive. Oh, and while we were there, we rode the elephants, and we stayed in this reserve, you know, where the elephants were just round all over, and the rooms where we had that the hotel or motel or whatever you call it was on like on the second level,
mm-hmm.
and you'd walk out on the porch at the second level, and at the end you'd jump onto an elephant.
Cool.
Because you're up at his level.
Yeah.
And so we cruised all around. Four people were sitting on top of the elephant. And, you know, we're looking around for wild animals. Of course, there weren't any, but it's what we were supposed to be looking for. Anyway, I've been around the world twice, besides other trips to Europe. Our first trip was to New Zealand.
Oh, neat.
And I've been, like I say, in China, Japan, and just about any place you want to mention.
You've been there?
I've been there. Yeah.
And then you wrote a book, Pathways to the Past.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Well, you have to understand that Mormon Church and that we believe it's a group of people who came over here from Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And they were led by inspiration. From Heavenly Father to these people, and they were able to have a ship, or they made a ship, and they came over to, we think they landed in Mexico or Guatemala.
Uh-huh.
Nobody knows for sure. Church will not say, but there's so many evidences in that area of what things that could have been. This civilization that was organized or planned, I mean, they developed from the people who, they came in 600 BC, and then they were the last, they fought each other. They were two brothers, and they had enemies. I mean, they made enemies, and so they were, the Lamanites were always fighting the Nephites. And finally, about 600 I know 400 AD, that's when they had the final battle. So they had that civilization all that time. Well, forever, there's been a group of Indians in Mexico called the Mayans, mm-hmm. the Maya. And also there's many other tribes besides just the Mayas, but they're the only ones who have are still existing, and they had a writing system. They knew the zero before anybody else did.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, so many of the terrain and building, I mean, not no buildings, of course they weren't there, but just a different points of interest show that there was a civilization that very well could have been this mm-hmm. group from Israel. Sure. And so there are ruins all over southern Mexico and Guatemala.
Yep.
And we traveled down there, Jean and I, and looking for them. But then we tried to find places that would show that the Mormon church or the belief that we had, like that Christ was there.
Uh-huh.
We believe that Christ came to the people there. And there's just all over, there's indications that you can identify.
Sure.
Nothing for sure. But anyway, that's what my book is about. It's actually a travel book to go. If you had 1 week or 10 days or 3 weeks,
mm-hmm.
then I could tell you where to go to just different ruins
cool.
and maybe what you could find that pertained to the church.
Mm-hmm. Nice. How long did it take you to write?
Well, it didn't take me too long to write it, because when we'd travel,
all the research and stuff.
Yeah,
when
Jean and I were down there, we spent a month traveling in Mexico and Guatemala, and so I would identify the different ruins, and I'd write about them while I was there.
Cool.
You know, where I was fortunate that I had gone to a tour to South America with BYU, and the leader of the tour was a man named Paul Chessman, and he was a professor at BYU in ancient history,
mm-hmm.
and he was conducting this tour in South America, and it was to look for signs of the church there. There's different ruins and indications around Peru and all different parts of South America that show that they could have been there, but
sure.
we don't know. So we that's what we went to Lima, and there's places all around there that show that these were ancient ruins that were still left there, and it's really fascinating to see all that. But then we went to other places in South America. We went over to Brazil, and we just had it was a wonderful trip. But I had already been writing a bunch of books
uh-huh.
about it, and so when I got back, well, I decided I'd made good friends with him, and so we were, thinking about the same things or working on it,
mm-hmm.
and so I just mentioned to them one time that what I was writing, and he had been a photographer. And he worked on the Pan American Highway through Mexico and down south Central America, and he had all these different relics that he had, like I've got pots and
yep.
the way they pottery and stuff was probably so we joined. He did the photography, he had the pictures,
uh-huh.
and I did the writing.
Nice.
And so I worked up to BYU for 2 weeks. It was really great. We sat there in the building there. It was called the Joseph Smith Building, where they had the religion classes and all.
Mm-hmm.
And they set me up with a corner with a telephone, before computers.
Typewriter.
It was cut and paste in those days.
Nice.
And so that's where we put it together, and then we had a place that published it. I mean, there in that area too,
uh-huh.
and so the book was published.
Nice.
And it was fun because I wrote around with his name because he was very well known
yeah.
Everywhere. So I just slid on his name to get all this stuff done.
Sounds like you did a bunch of the work, though.
Oh, I wrote everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wrote the script, what do you call it?
You just slapped his name and some pictures on it?
Yeah.
Nice.
And you tell what's going on, so. But like
right.
I say, it was a guide. Because like I say, in Mexico City, there's a bunch of stuff around there.
Sure.
That you could see. And then a little ways later, maybe 100, I mean, 200 miles away, there's another big
Ruin
yeah. there, yeah. So, just all along the way.
Nice.
Show you what they were.
All right. I'm excited for this one. Can you tell me about the dumbest thing you've ever done in your life?
Well, I was a good girl.
Oh, bet.
I was not very adventurous or anything. I don't know. I don't know that anything really dumb. I just really, I could say I've never been brave enough to do something you can't think about like you guys are. But I can't think of anything.
All right.
That I would be, you know, embarrassed or ashamed about.
Darn.
I'm
always excited.
Too bad.
Hear about the naughty things you've done. All right. Share with me the story of how you and Grandpa met. Tell me about your wedding and your honeymoon.
Well, I could tell you in Dallas, we had this club for it, the Tip Toppers Club. And we were having a party. It was at a honky-tonk at there. You know, and at that time in Texas, you couldn't get mixed drinks. So when you went to the bar, or to the clubs, you brought your whole bottle in, and then the restaurant would serve ice and 7-Up and stuff, the mixers. And so
you had to mix your own drinks?
Yeah. And so we were having this party at this nightclub, a tonky-tonk, whatever, and it was advertised in the paper. Well, Gene worked for a company that supplied engineers for aircraft plants that needed temporary engineering work.
Uh-huh.
And so he was doing that, and he came to Dallas on a job, and he looked up in the paper, and there was the ad.
Uh-huh.
So he came to the party. And he of course, being a good little Mormon boy, he had no social graces. he didn't drink, he didn't smoke. I guess he eyeballed me right off. I was having fun with the other guys, you know. But he cornered me and asked me for dates. And I did go out on Friday night with him because I had another date on Saturday night. But he bought me a steak dinner, and I was pretty poor, so I liked those steak dinners. And he had, I didn't know it at the time, but he had a friend who was a florist. Anyway, he sent me red roses almost every day, or at least,
I mean,
and that was nice too. But I didn't know that he was got a good deal. Of course, he wasn't. But anyway, I that's where he was, and he was 6'4" and tall, of course, and nice looking, I thought, and even though he wasn't a real social hot dog, well, I realized, in fact, when we were dating, he asked me if I believed in God, and I was really surprised. And of course, I had belonged to a little church in Fort Worth. My folks didn't want to go to church because they had such bad experiences mm-hmm. with their growing up. But I did. I wanted a church. And so I found this little church for the Christian church. It was called the Disciples of Christ. And it's one of the congregations, you know, like the Baptists and Methodists and so
sure.
on. And their headquarters were there in Fort Worth. TCU is their big school. Anyway, I believed in God, you know, so... The more he told me about the church, I could say more that he told me, I just really, really, that's right, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what it is. And then we got married in Fort Worth at my church. Actually, not the church I went to, but another one. It was bigger and could have room for us. And his brother, who was famous basketball player from BYU,
oh, yeah.
happened to be in town, and he was their best man.
He wasn't scandalized that he didn't get more like married in the Mormon church?
Well, they thought they... No, it was okay.
Yeah.
They understood.
Okay.
They were not that way, you know.
Okay.
And Gene had been married before, and I guess he'd had a big fancy wedding then, but... He was sour on that stuff, so. it was a very, very simple church wedding. And my roommate, Queenie, was my maid of honor. And And then we had the reception in my mother's backyard because she had beautiful flowers and garden. Mm-hmm. She'd worked so hard. And so that's where we had the reception. And now when he went with this brother that was best man,
mm-hmm.
he was playing a big game in Kansas City on Easter weekend that week, end of March, 51. And he wanted me to go with him, but the good girls didn't go like that, to, you know, travel with a unmarried guy, I mean, you know.
Sure.
So I went with my roommate to her home in Treeport. This was Easter weekend, but when I got back, I couldn't understand why he hadn't called, and he finally did, and he was in a little town of Oklahoma where he'd had a wreck, and he was in the hospital.
Aww.
He had this red Ford convertible he was so proud of, and he was flying along on the road with the top down, and it happened to hit this wagon or something that was in the road, nobody else around, but it turned this car over and over, and then they thought he was going to die. And in fact, the guys from the ambulance company took his shoes.
He won't be needing these.
Yeah,
these are nice.
So he called me, and he was, the next weekend he had asked me to marry him before that, and I wasn't sure I wanted to. So, but when after the next weekend, then my roommate, who had a car, thank goodness, drove me up to Oklahoma to see him in the hospital, mm-hmm. and then I told him there I'd marry him.
Aww.
Yeah, he was helpless on the bed. And anyway, but then while he came home after 3 weeks, and he still couldn't work but half a day, and he had a broken collarbone, and I don't know what else, but anyway, he was recovering almost all the time we were engaged, actually, because that was in March, end of March, and then we got married on June the 9th. So in all that time, he was really weak or, you know, helpless. Anyway, that's what, so when we didn't have lots of activities, you know, I mean, mm-hmm. dancing and stuff like that, dating before we got married, but that I didn't care, you know, it's all right. So anyway, it worked out okay. We were married 57 years.
All right, here's another fun one I'm excited for. What's the worst thing you remember my mother ever doing when she was a child? Or a teenager, I'll take that too.
Well, she was a teenager, and she never talked to me very much, you know. We were okay, but I knew she went to this party she's going to, and I wasn't sure. But I got to thinking about it. It was because marijuana was a real problem during that time. I guess mm-hmm. it always is. But she was over at this party, and I don't know why I did it or thinking about it. But I went over. I was going to pick her up. I didn't want her being there, so I drove over there and picked it up. There was guys drinking beer out in the yard, and inside the house was dark, and people were smooching all over, and I didn't, and my daughter got out of this den of iniquity, you know, so I took her home, and I guess that was bad. I don't know if it was a bad thing or not, but anyway, I guess Julie was not very happy with me, but
no, that you went and picked her up from a sweet party.
Yeah. Yeah. But I had to get used to it. It was so different from the way I was raised. And then what we teenagers were, it's a different, like two different worlds.
Was that in California or Prescott?
It was in California.
And I know you moved here
yeah.
when they were teenagers.
Yeah, was 16.
Was mm-hmm. it to get them out of there? Or
yeah,
what?
The school was really bad. The high school that they were going to was really bad. In fact, they accepted that. They knew that. Now, they came over yelling and screaming, but now they won't leave.
Nice. All right. Do you know any great stories about any of our ancestors? Like, any that stand out as being really cool?
No, not really. They were just farmers in Missouri and Oklahoma. mother's family came from Texas, the middle. I'm always the fourth generation to be born in Texas, you know. And I wanted, like everything, to have Mark born there because we were only 90 miles away in Alamogordo, New Mexico, and El Paso. I could have gone over there and had him, and uh-huh. I'd had another Texan all night. But Gene wouldn't do it. So anyway, no, I don't know anybody so special. You know, they're just people, just working people. Nobody had any money.
Did you have a high school prom?
Oh, yeah, we had a prom.
Who did you go with?
I was determined to go. But like I told you, nobody dated me, you know. But some of the boys were coming home from the war at that time. Mm-hmm. And there's this one guy who was tall. And he hung around with the football players. I don't know. He was kind of weird, I know. But he was tall.
He was weird, but he was tall, so it was all
and
good.
I took a class called radio. We learned how to put on radio shows. Mm-hmm. But he was in there, too. And I got my nerve up, and I asked him to go to the prom.
Yeah.
Okay. That was done. So mother made me a dress and all that kind of stuff.
What did your dress look like?
It was white. And
a white dress?
Well... I got pictures of it. It's had long puffy sleeves and stuff. Just a plain dress, you know, nothing fancy. Mm-hmm. Just a minute. He didn't come. And finally, his mother called, and it said that he got to working on his car and forgot.
What?
So help me. And so.
What is this devil's name?
I'm not sure. I can't remember. Okay. Oh, anyway. So they came and got me. I don't know if I forgot with him or his mother came and got me. And I waited out in their yard in the car for the longest time for him to get ready to come. Uh-huh. So finally he did. And he was okay. But then he realized I didn't have a corsage. And so... he wanted to go around and try to, late at night to get me a corsage. Well, of course, that was impossible. He would often left me for a long term for that.
Ugh.
We had at the hotel we had a dinner dance, and we didn't make it to the dinner because he was too late. But we went to the dance, but then I got bored with him, and I didn't want. I got to the prom. That was it. And. Mission accomplished. So I told the guys, I got a headache. I want to go. But he leaves me again for a long time to go get me an aspirin. So there, I'm over there with the other wallflowers, you know. Mm-hmm. We danced, we got one or two dances, I think, and about that time I've had it. So, and so I had him take me home, and he don't want to date me. He asked me out again. I said, no, that's okay. So, anyway, that's it.
Lovely. Do you remember your first kiss?
Well, yes, sort of, but it wasn't a sweet. It wasn't a romantic kiss. It was just a guy in the neighborhood that we'd all palled around with. He was really good-looking, and we were just sitting on the front porch one time, and I think there was other people with us. I'm not sure. But anyway, I think we kissed then, but, you know, nothing. It wasn't like a... love kiss or anything.
Yeah, what's your first love kiss?
What was it? There was a guy there in Fort Worth that was the cousin of my good friend Betty, and he was tall and stuff, and so he asked me to marry him, and I said yes, and so I guess that was the first time a real kiss. However, it wasn't any. As I remember, go back now, it was not any romantic feelings at all.
But you were going to marry him?
Well, yeah, that's just, it was so dumb because he brought me a ring, everything. And, but then he decided he didn't really want to get married. So he broke it off.
Yeah, and you had some awesome dates growing up.
Oh, I did. I had I didn't have any, that's bad stuff. I was glad to get married out of it. But he broke it off, and And boy, I don't know why. I could say he wasn't really that great, but I was sick for 3 months, I think, afterwards. I couldn't keep my stomach settled, and it was just awful because it's a blow to me. And anyway, that's gone. I was glad he didn't, because he would not have been a good wife, a good husband, I mean.
Well, there's like 5 minutes left in this recording, if you want to add anything else. Is there something that I didn't ask that you're like, oh, wait, what about this?
Well, let's see. We've covered... my motorcycle riding.
Oh, yeah, let's hear it.
Yeah. Gene always rode motorcycles. And when we were in California, I had to stay home on the weekends while he went riding.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the way it was, you know. And so I didn't like that too well. But when we got to Prescott, and the kids were pretty well grown, and so I decided I wanted to ride. And I rode the back of his. We went down to Ensenada to a race, and it was awful. Just I was too tall, and my head stuck above his. It was miserable, so I wanted my own bike. So he bought me a 250 Honda, and we rode it around in the hills or all around here in Prescott. It was so fun. And then I got a 500 Honda, and we took trips with it. We went down to Mexico, to Mazatlan,
mm-hmm.
and we drove up. We were going through Las Vegas, and then we dropped it. I dropped it at the intersection because I hit an L slack. And he went on down the road.
I didn't notice that you were gone.
And my big old heavy dress, I couldn't pick it up. So I had some of the guys come over, and they saw me in distress. So they came over and helped me. And by that time, Gene realized I wasn't there. So
yeah.
I came back. But then we went to, we put our cycles on a trailer, and we left them in Reno with my good friends there. And then we took our cycles and we rode over to Canada, to Victoria, and we went up on the coast, and we left the cycles in this little town on the coast of Canada, and we took the ferry up to Alaska
uh-huh.
and back. That was so fun. And then we came back and got our scooters, and then we rode clear across, halfway across Canada to Banff Park, but it's a national park.
Uh-huh.
And Lake Louise is a famous place there, and they got this gorgeous big hotel. And we rode in there. It was raining all this time. And I wore a wig all the time. I mean, when I got out of when I took my helmet off, I had to wear a wig. And so we got to, there was one place, I don't know how much more time I got, but there's in Seattle, we were going to get dinner. And we pulled in this parking lot. Well, there was a restaurant that was above where we were, you know,
mm-hmm.
and kind of, and so, but anyway, I took off my helmet, and I put on my wig, and we went into the restaurant, and everybody was down there. They could see what I was doing. But then, like I say, when we got to Lake Louise, to the hotel, I had taken a long skirt and sandals, of course, and my wig. And so we changed. We got dressed and changed. Went down to the lovely part where we had dinner and dancing.
Mm-hmm.
And that was fun.
Sounds awesome. I want to do that.
Yeah.
Pete. Make a plan. All right.
Is that enough?
Sure. Okay. Thanks for doing this with me. It was fun.
Well, another 20 years, you'll look back. Well, anyway, it's, that's a lot of fun.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, I love you, Grammy.
Okay. Love you, too. I'm so glad you came.
Me, too.
Yeah.
All right, and that's it.